One thing we were sharing on Sunday, and I think it's good to note that when we talk about fruitfulness and we talk about fruit bearing, you can look right in the beginning or the beginnings when you look at Genesis, the very first chapter, and right through that first chapter, God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." He said, he spoke to, in verse 11, he said, "Let the earth bring forth." Verse 20, he said to the waters, "Bring forth." And verse 22, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the seas." And verse 24, he said, "Let the earth bring forth." So we're talking about bearing fruit. And so things that God makes, and then of course we know in verse 28 he said God created man and blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." And we know Genesis 8:22 it says, "As long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest." So as long as this earth remains, God's expecting, because of what he spoke and what he created, to bear fruit and to replenish. And it will constantly do that. And so that's why, to me, and of course the scripture states this, that it's an abomination to God. It's not pleasing to God. It's against God's will when you have anything that he makes not produce fruit. That's why when you have man and a man and a woman and a woman, it does not bear fruit. And it is not of God. Because everything that God created is good. Well, people are good. They just do stupid things. Motivated by the devil. It's not that man and woman are not good. People and things that God created are good. That's why we love people. But it's the things that they do that can be displeasing to God. Amen. And we need to be, we don't hate people. We love people. And so that's why we need to be strong on these things and know where we stand. Hallelujah. And just get simple. You know, I like this person. I don't know if you've ever seen him, Ravi Zacharias. But his approach, he uses apologetics. He walks through very methodically in the scriptures. He's a scientist or a former scientist. And I like the way he walks through things apologetically and walks through very systematically in settings with atheists and so forth and just lays it out plain as to why God does the things that he does. And that he loves us. And without seeking him, without searching for him, and without accepting Christ, you're lost. You see? And he's straight up, as they say. Straight up with it. You see? So let's John 15. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman," or you could say gardener. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it," or prune it. We could say pruning. "That it may" what? "It may bring forth more fruit." Now, verse 3, I like this. It says, "Now," say now.
"Now,
now ye are" what? "Clean through the word." Now, if you look up that word clean, just in the dictionary, you know, let's put aside Vine's expository dictionary, but just a general Merriam-Webster or some dictionary, it just means to be pure, clean, purified by fire, free from corrupt desire, from sin or guilt, blameless. I like this. This is a definition. It says, "Like a vine, cleansed by pruning." So really, when we talk about now ye are clean through the word, yes, we've been cleaned, we've been redeemed. But this also, in context here, when we talk about a branch being purged or pruned, right? Now ye are clean through the word. That means pruned. That means, that's just what it said in this. It says, like a vine cleansed by pruning, so fitted to bear fruit. So that means when we receive the word and a revealing of the word comes to us in a particular area, that's pruning. That's cleaning. That's pinching, right? We all know that. So we are clean through the word. How are we going to be pruned? Through the word. That's what this is really saying. We're going to be pruned and purged through the word. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it, what? Abideth in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. So right here, he's talking about, we know who the branches are. Ye, me. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And skip down to verse 16. It says, you have not chosen me, but I have what? Chosen you and what? Ordained you, that you should what? Just say go, go, and what? Bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, just as a point of note here, this word in verse 16, where it says, I've chosen you and ordained you, if you look at some other translations, it says, I've commissioned you. Well, when we think about commission, my mind immediately goes to the Great Commission, where he says, go, which is what he just said, you should go. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and do what? Make disciples. That's bearing fruit. So this is what he's talking about here, that he's commissioned us to go do this. And if we don't, it's not pleasing to him. So we've all been assigned, commissioned to bear fruit. Hallelujah. And we know this. Pastor Clinton used to say it a different way. And when he was alive, he used to say what? Sheep beget sheep. Right? That's just saying the same thing. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Another scripture, review here. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, we're talking about the word. Now ye are clean through the word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. And it's what? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That means what? Just what we said. Now ye are clean. You're pruned by the word. Hallelujah. It's God-breathed. Now, we talked about some other things about redeeming our time, not just doing a whole lot of things for God, but that those things are orchestrated. And we're talking about the things that we do, that when they're orchestrated by God, that there's things that those are spirit-led. These are things that God, by His Spirit, leads us to do. If you know the scripture, I'm just thinking of a scripture here, Romans chapter 8, and it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be carnally minded, I'm sorry, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. So we know that the things that are orchestrated by God, those things that He's assigned us to do or things that He's directed us to do, are spiritual. And they will bring forth spiritual fruit, which is what? Perpetual. It's eternal. And it won't pass away. Those are the kind of things that are pleasing to God. Not just being busy. Everybody can be busy. But it's the things that God directs that will bring forth spiritual fruit. Hallelujah. What does it say? Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Hallelujah. So we're looking at fruitfulness. And again, looking at, we talked about redeeming the time. And now let's turn over to 2 Peter, because Sunday we picked up on 2 Peter and we looked at the various areas that we need to add to our faith. And these are important because it says, if you read closely, and I'm going to start reading from verse 1, in the King James, when you get there, say amen. Amen. I'll wait for a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like fresh, precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, and I'll stop and just make a comment here. Sunday I mentioned that when you look at the various translations for giving all diligence, most of the translations say make every effort to do something. You give diligence to something, that means you're making every effort to do something. The Complete Jewish Bible says try your hardest. That kind of focuses in on what that means. Try your hardest to do this. Contemporary English version says, do your best, and the easy-to-read version says, do all you can. Do all you can to add to your faith virtue. And then it says, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now look what it says. For if these things be in you, and what? Abound, they make you. Wow, I like that. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. We're talking about fruitfulness here now. What? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. See, we're talking about somebody who is clean through the word. They forgot that they were. This says here they what? It says they hath forgotten that they were purged. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give what? Diligence. That means make every effort. Try your hardest to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I made mention Sunday, when you think about Mark, the sower sows the word. And Mark 4:18, it talks about seeds sown on certain types of ground. But then it also talks about seeds sown in thorns and thistles. And it says, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, what? Entering in, that means you had to allow them to enter in. So we had a choice. What things, we're just reading in Romans 8, what things is your mind on? See, that's key. So when my mind are on things that I see, then I'm letting it enter into my heart, and it can choke the word that's been planted in my heart, right? It can choke it. And the word, choke the word, and it becometh what? Unfruitful. So I have a choice in life. That's bearing fruit. So in other words, I have choices to make. So these particular seven areas that we're going to look at, and we looked at virtue, and now I want to look at knowledge this evening. Knowledge and temperance, and then we have patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And I like the way the Amplified, I'm not going to read it, you can look at that for yourself, but I like the way the Amplified expresses it, it expands it, but when it talks about it, it says, exercising your faith to develop virtue. So it talks about exercising something and developing something. So then it talks about exercising virtue, develop knowledge. So there's an exercising of your that particular area, and then developing it in a particular area. That means expanding, right? So let's look at the word knowledge. Let me back up here. And it says, and to virtue, so let me back up with verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And we talked about virtue being moral excellence or excellence. It means to be superior. You can look these definitions up. A certain books will give you that, the concordance and so forth. It means the Strong's talks about it being moral excellence, excellence of character. These are some of the other translations. The CEB translation says, add moral excellence to your faith. The Message Bible says, complementing your basic faith with good character. The New Living Translation says, supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. The Amplified says, develop virtue or excellence, resolution, or Christian energy. And so when we talk about something that's excellence or excellent, that means something that goes beyond, something that surpasses. And I was referencing something on certain scriptures. We know Psalm 8, it says, O Lord, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 148, his name alone is excellent. He hath inherited, Hebrews, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. His name far surpasses any other name. His name is what? Higher than any other name. It's greater, it far surpasses, right? So when we talk about excellence, God is excellent. He is excellent, and his excellence is in us, right? But it needs to be developed. It needs to be pulled out. And so that means that when we talk about add to my faith virtue or excellence, that means not just getting by with what I say is kind of just getting by with whatever. It's not okay. That means we ought to be striving to be better, to get better at what we're doing, right? In every area that we do. This is what it's saying. How do I bear fruit? It means I've got to be purged so that this moral excellence expands in me. To do what? Bring forth more fruit. That's what it's part of, right? Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. So it wasn't just an okay sacrifice. He brought something that was excellent. It was surpassing, right? And that's what we're talking about. So what we don't want to do is just, when you think about God, and what he provides for us. Think about Ephesians 3:20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above what? All that we can ask or think. It's not just okay. No, he does super abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So those are the kind of things that nature is in us. And so we need to surpass in certain areas of our life. That means that we need to give all diligence to this so that we can expand in this area in moral excellence and character. Amen. So what I was saying Sunday, don't live a life of just settling for less. That's the point. Don't just live your life and say, well, you know, that's the best we can do. No, it's not. That means we can push further to do what? Excel, surpass. And I was sharing on Sunday, doing the things that I was doing in the area that I was working in, my mind, see, remember what I said, what you set your mind on is what becomes what leads you. See, there's something we need to consider here. When we're led, there's two things that lead us: the Word of God and His Spirit. See? And so what you put your mind on is what's going to lead you. It's either going to be what you see. If I set my eyes on something that could be appealing, right? May not be right. See, and all of us have this flesh nature to deal with. See, I could look at a big plate of food and it may not be a temptation to me. Somebody else, it's like, oh, yes, sir. Whatever it is. Could be food. Could be, whatever that is, right? If it's clothes, you know, if that turns your button on, right? That could be like, oh, boy, I'm going. Okay, so what you set your eyes on and you put your mind on can become what leads you, not the Spirit of God, not something spiritual. See? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't shop or eat, but you need to be led. That's what I'm saying. You need to be led how to eat, and you need to know, okay, enough. Do you want any more? Yes, I certainly do, but I'm not. You understand my point? So we need to not be led, because when we yield to that, when you yield to it, it begins to do what? It begins to strengthen that desire, and it can become stronger. You're planting seed. And so that can become stronger and stronger and stronger. How do people start when they get over into hard drugs? They didn't start there. They started with something real innocent, marijuana. And then they moved over to something else and something else. They set their mind on that and they yielded to it, what? Their flesh. How does somebody get to the place of killing somebody? They just didn't pick up and start. They started yielding to anger. That's right. And then they fed it, and they fed it, and they fed it, and they fed it. Anger, 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 explosion. See? Murder. And so it's the same thing. We can either yield to the flesh, or we can yield to the Spirit. And when we yield to the Spirit, see, then that does what? It brings forth not death, but it brings forth life and peace. See? And this is how we bring forth more fruit, good fruit, not fruit that'll be destructive. So don't, we're talking about moral excellence, we don't want to just settle for something less than God's best. Because He's excellent. And He's given us what? Every great and precious promise for life and godliness. And so we're to do what? Make every effort to do that. And that's what I was sharing, that when I set my mind on things here, doing the tasks that I did, I would think about it, how can I do this better? How can I do this quicker? What can I buy to do something that's produces more for the ministry? I remember when I first started, just kind of just little things. I remember when I first started, we were buying these little hard plastic cases for the cassettes. And we were paying 10 cents a piece for them. And I said, that's too much money. We can get these cheaper. I said, I want to find the manufacturer. I want to go right to the plant. Forget about going through a third person. I'm not against people making money, but I want to go to the plant and go right to the manufacturing plant. So I put my words out there. And it wasn't like I'm confessing this every day, but it was my heart's desire. And so through a whole long circuitous route, I started looking at redesigning the cassette label. So I'm calling all these companies. Now, you know, you got to remember when I first started here, we didn't have no computers. I'll tell you what we had, a phone book. And we had to flip through and try to find somebody. Now I just use my phone or an iPad and I'm searching. Yeah, I don't want to remember, you know, the good old days. There was nothing good about them. It took a whole lot of time to figure something out, right? Today, it's a wonderful thing to have information at your fingertips. So anyways, I'm making all these phone calls, and so I'm talking to this vendor, and he said, well, we don't do that, da-da-da. Now, he doesn't even work or sell this product, plastic cases for cassettes. He's in the printing business, and he says to me, do you buy Norelco boxes? I said, yeah. He said, you ought to go to the plant. And I'm thinking, yeah. He said, call this company. Now, why he said that, it was out of the clear blue. He doesn't sell it. He had no reason to even tell me. And I picked up that phone, as they say, lickety split. And this is what all the record companies use. They may buy 200,000, boxes or whatever for their product. And I was able to buy the minimum. I think we used to buy, 10 or 20,000 at a time, and I'd buy a year's worth. But I got them for a nickel. And I saved 5 cents a box. Every time you got a cassette, we saved 5 cents. And I did that here. We did that here for years, 10, 15, 20 years. So all I'm saying is I kept looking. I set my mind on things that were godly to help the ministry. And so God will unfold and reveal things to you how to help, and that produced fruit. See, not just that, there were other things I did, but that just one that comes to mind, right? So when we talk about that, the next thing we're going to talk about here is knowledge. And it says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. Well, that just means knowledge just is referencing just knowledge of something or intelligence, knowing something. And so really, what does that mean? We need to be purged of ignorance. If I'm supposed to be adding knowledge, then that needs to be, I'm purged of some stuff that getting in the way, some ignorance, right? I need to be pruned of some things. So all of us, in some way, are ignorant of something. That doesn't mean stupid. That doesn't mean there's something inferior. We all lack knowledge in some area, right? That doesn't mean we have to know everything, but in order to bear fruit, you have to become more knowledgeable of the Word of God, don't we? And more knowledgeable in spiritual things. That's what that's really saying. And make what? Give all diligence to that. Make every effort. So what does that mean? That means making sure that I'm spending time reading the Word of God, meditating in the Word of God. What? So I can bear more fruit. That means getting and coming to church. What does it say? Forsake not the assembling of ourselves when we see the day approaching. So that means we need to be reading the Word of God. This is how we're going to what? Grow spiritually and grow in the knowledge of God. And this says here, making all diligence to do that, right? I mean, I'm going to give you some things to think about here. Now, how many would say that Paul knew some things? Right? Would you say Paul knew a little bit more than you did? I'd say so. Right? We can all agree on that, right? But now here, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, 9, for we know in part. So even he, after all the revelation, he said, I know in part. I got some stuff I need to learn, right? I know in part, and we prophesy in part. And then down he goes down in verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. So even Paul knew in part. And so that means we need to grow and make all diligence to grow in the knowledge of God, in knowledge of things. Would you not agree? So if he knew in part, I guess I'd say, where does that leave us? That means we need to learn some things. Would you not agree? Brother Hagin used to say this. He used to say it this way. The more you know, the less you see you know. The more you know, the less you see you know. Right? Wouldn't you agree? You grew up. I mean, just forget about the Word of God. You start growing up and you go, oh, I didn't thought I knew, but now I don't know. Right? I thought I knew. But guess what? I need to find out a little more. Right? So sometimes one of the reasons we're not producing more fruit is because of ignorance of the Word of God. Think about Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for what? Hello. Right? So we need to grow in this area. And that's why it's important. Another scripture that came to mind, I was putting these notes together here, some things that already know, but just keep it in mind, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? The knowledge of God, or the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you what? You may know. You may know. See, Brother Hagin talked about it. He said he prayed this for 6 months, twice a day. And he said after 6 months, he began to see and know things in the Word of God by revelation that he hadn't seen in 14 years in ministry. He said, what on earth have I been saying and teaching? So that knowledge and wisdom began to grow in him, and he became more fruitful. So these are things that we need to keep in mind. Next on the list here, it says, and to knowledge, temperance. And so when you look up this word temperance in the Strong's Concordance, it just means self-control. It means strong in controlling yourself. And what does that mean? As opposed to weak and giving in to things. So Strong's, it says, the virtue of one, this is self-control, it says the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. So would you not agree, as if, and when I make all diligence to have more temperance, that I bear more fruit? In other words, I'm putting my mind not on carnal things, but on sensual things. So I'm saying no to this and yes to this. What was this song tonight? Yes, I say yes, Lord. So I say no to this and yes to this. That becomes and causes me to be what? More fruitful and bear more fruit. And we do what? Make every effort. Turn over to Romans. I'm going to go back over to Romans 8 again. I hope this is helping a little bit. Because I tell you, the more you meditate on it, the Word will reveal some things that we need to do what? Prune. This doesn't happen overnight. I hope you realize this. This doesn't happen overnight. This is a process where we begin to really just choke some of the desires, and we just say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not doing that. No. And the more you resist, that desire becomes less and less and less and less and less. And it, you become more fruitful in spiritual things. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, you could say, they mind the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded, or we could say flesh-minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's just saying that the Spirit of God will empower you and quicken your mortal body to do what? Resist. Hallelujah. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, ye are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do what? Mortify or kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That just means that by his Spirit, he's giving me the ability to crucify or say no. Resist things you want to do. You know, Brother Hagin said something. I remember Joseph Garlington said it. Others have said it. The most holy of saints, everyone in here, can have a thought that's in their mind that's ungodly. We just don't have to yield to it. Doesn't mean what Brother Hagin used to say. He said, You can't prevent a bird from flying over, but you certainly can prevent him building a nest in your head or on it. So thoughts can come. We just don't have to yield to them. So we are, again here, when you look at verse 13, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. This is talking about fruit bearing here. Depends on what kind of fruit you're going to bear. See, if you live after the flesh, you're going to bear some fruit. What does that mean? You shall die. says here, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. This is self-control here. This is temperance. That's what this is talking about here. Mastering your feelings and having self-control. That's what this is talking about right here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we're not just a body or flesh. What? We know this. We're a spirit, and God is a spirit and the Father of spirits. So we're not just a spirit. I mean, we're not just a body, but we're a spirit. And so we need to choose to be aware of what we put our minds on. Are we going to look at things on the outward? Brother Hagin used to say it, we need to be more God inside minded. What does that mean? Not keep thinking about things on the outside, but look inwardly. Think on those things on the inside of us. Be aware of Him. Be more spiritually minded. What are we putting our minds on? That which I yield to, is I'm feeding it, is another way of saying it. I'm giving it strength by what I feed on, what I put my mind on. So the two simple things are the keys to walking in the Spirit. What you have your mind on is one, and what leads you. So what do you have your mind on? Do you have on things what you see, or do you have your mind on spiritual things, on the Word of God? Spiritual things. What you put your mind on and what you let lead you is key to walking in the Spirit. And that's what the Scripture bears out, right? So we said that. I can either let something I see lead me, or I can do what? I can allow the Holy Spirit to lead me. I can let these sensual desires of the flesh, every one of us here, your flesh did not get redeemed, neither did your mind. That's why we have to renew it. Your spirit got redeemed. So everyone in here has sensual appetites in their flesh, in their body, that wants something. Look, think about this. The sensual appetite, the flesh, cannot be satisfied. And if you yield to it and you give in to it, it's going to become strong. I want this, I want this, I want this. And the more you yield to it, it becomes something that what? You've put your mind on and you think on it. So that's why some people struggle in certain areas. If you talk to people that struggle in certain areas, they got their mind on it. You talk to them long enough and they got their mind on that. Whether it's health, whether it's a job, whether it's a family, whether it's eating, whether it's pornography, whether it's food, whatever it is, they've set their mind on it and it's become bondage or a stronghold because they've what? Fed it. And they fed it. And they fed it, and they fed it because they've put their mind on it, and then they've acted and fed it. And then they keep their mind on it, and they fed it, and before they know it, it's this monster that they're dealing with, right? So we need to what? Starve it. Starve the desire. Say, no, I'm not doing that. Whether it's worry, whether it's fear, I don't care what it is, something that stimulates something in your senses, you just say, no, I'm not feeding this. Because it says in Romans, it says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now that may not necessarily mean physical death, but it means that you're not going to bear the fruit that you need to. You're not going to bear spiritual fruit. That's what it is. So we need to starve that. By what? By not yielding to it. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. I'll get it right today. I saw what happened. I typed my notes, and I put in 6 in my notes instead of 5. So I saw what happened. I said Galatians 6, it's Galatians 5. Verse 13. So depending on what you yield to determines what type of fruit you yield. Verse 13 in Galatians 5, For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love do what? Serve one another. You know, think about this. We're not just called to be born again, and that's the end of it. This says here, we're to be born again and do what? Serve. So folks that just want to come to church on Sunday and park, at some point, the scripture says here, we're to do what? Serve one another. That means get busy and do something. I just throw it out there. You know, folks that say, well, I can watch at home at the internet. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you're not coming, assembling together, and at some point, serving one another. Hallelujah. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are what? Manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you know, here's the thing. If you were involved in this type of fruit, and were or are, just choke it. In other words, look to God, change what you put your mind on and begin to choke it, because you can walk out of this. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, see, the fruit of the Spirit, what you put your mind on, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That just means by his Spirit, I'm not yielding to it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, I was thinking of something. I saw something I thought was very interesting. I saw an application in it. I don't really know who this person is, but he's supposed to be the strongest man in the world. His name is Brian Shaw. Somebody may know who it is if you're into that. So he said that he has to eat. He's the strongest man in the world, so he does strength training. He's not a bodybuilder, and that's different. Bodybuilders sculpt their body with the various weights in different areas of their body. He does strength training. He's the strongest man in the world. He can literally deadlift up, it's over 1,000 pounds. I mean, he's a massive guy. And he's not flabby. He's a big guy. And this is what he said. He said, in order for me to build strength, I have to eat. And I have to eat every 2 hours. And he said, I pack in 8,000 to 12,000 calories a day. And it's like a machine. And this is what he said, which caught my attention. You know, I'm watching this, and he said, there are times I sit down, I don't want to eat. And I thought, He doesn't want to eat. He's like, oh, I got to eat. He said, but I make myself eat, and I sit down, and I eat, because if I don't, I don't build strength. And I thought, oh. So he's doing it not because he wants to eat. There are times he said, I don't want to eat, but I make myself eat. And I thought, there's a spiritual application there. I don't want to walk in love, but I do, because it's pleasing to God. See, the things of the Spirit you may not want to do, but if you don't, you won't bear the fruit, like he won't. If he doesn't eat, if he doesn't feed the body, he doesn't build strength. See, and he's talking about natural strength. We don't build spiritual fruit if we don't feed our spirits. And we don't force ourselves, you know what I mean. In other words, we make ourselves sit down and say, I don't want, you will sit down and read. You will pray. You will go to church. And I'm going to feed that and starve the I don't want to's or the want to's for the wrong thing. See? And that's what he was saying, what this bodybuilder was sharing. That he got massively big. He said, I started putting on weight by eating. And I thought, yeah. We can build spiritual strength and fruit by putting our mind on it, not just putting our mind on it, but exercising it and exercising it and exercising it and putting our mind and yielding to him and spiritual things. And saying no to things that oppose, because that's what this is saying here. He said, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary. Your flesh is not going to want to go to church. Hey, we all do. We go up, oh boy, it sure be nice to just lay here for another 2 hours. No. Your flesh doesn't want to go to church. Your flesh doesn't want to read the Bible. Your flesh does not want spiritual things. It's contrary. So it's not unusual. Don't think you're so unholy because flesh thoughts come to your mind. That's what it's supposed to do. It opposes spiritual things. Anybody understand that? Hey, we all live there. We live in this flesh. Hallelujah. Galatians 6. This is right now. I got Galatians 6 right now. This is an accurate reference here. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man what? Soweth, that shall he also reap. Or fruit. He's going to reap some fruit. For he that soweth to what? His flesh shall of the flesh reap. And I'll put not only just corruption, you're going to reap some fruit. Right? But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the more you feed your flesh, the stronger the desires become. The more you feed that flesh, the stronger the desire is. So we can starve the flesh desires so that they're not a problem for us. We just starve them by saying what? No, I'm not doing that. I'm not eating that. I'm not going there. I'm not going to watch that TV program. I'm not watching that movie. I'm not doing this. I'm going to act nice to this person instead of honoring. Right? The more you feed it, the more it becomes a stronghold. I'm just going to make this in closing. Turn over, you can look at it, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is Paul now. Verse 27. Well, back up to 25. He said, "And every man," this is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, "every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." That means self-controlled in all things. "Now they do it to obtain," "a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I do what? I keep my body under." I keep under my body and do what? And you could say, "I bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So Paul is saying, with all the revelation, he still had to live in this flesh body. He still had to control it. And he said, "I keep under my body, lest all that I've preached, I become a castaway, that I miss it." And what did he say? He said, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, self-controlled in all things." Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I hope you got a little something to chew on here and feed on, because I tell you, it excites me, because I said, you know what? I'm going to give and make every effort. Have we all arrived? No, we're in this flesh. We're fighting against it and its desires. So wherever you're at, just say, you know what? I'm going to make an effort. I'm going to strive a little harder to say no to some of these things that I'm trying to press on past, right? Whatever that area is, so I can do what? Be more fruitful. Fruitful for God. Amen. Glory to God.